Thank you for coming this morning. Our prelude is "And Can It Be" by Campbell, arranged by Bober, performed by Amber. Thank you, Amber. Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. I'm Reverend Ralph, and I've been around for almost 25 years. We welcome you. We welcome you. You know you are here. We know you are here for different reasons: to find community, to seek your spiritual and personal truths, to question, to nurture your heart and soul, and to be nurtured, to explore new ideas, to find comfort, and perhaps to find the answers to some of your bigger questions. We welcome you. We know you come from different places, different religions, different beliefs, and different backgrounds. We hope you will find comfort, connection, challenge, and love here. We hope you will find ways to provide outreach to others in our congregation, in our community, and in our world community. We light this chalice in the frigidness of this winter as we wait. The temporary space is one filled with hopes to be answered, love to be given and received, miracles to be witnessed, and may this light guide us until the warmth of the sun returns soon, we hope. Our opening hymn is number 131. Love Will Guide Us, accompanied by Amber. Please stand as you are able and willing. Neighborhood by Rocio Bonilla, and it'll be read by Carlene Tiksinski. So the children who are able can come up to the front, and find a place here to hear our story for all ages. Yes.
Well, we have a wonderful book that you will read through. Hold on. This is the first time I've done this.
Yeah, it's my goodness.
All right. Ah, even I can hear me now. So we have a wonderful book this morning, In the Neighborhood by Rocio Bonilla. Once upon a time, there was a neighborhood like so many others. It had houses, streetlights, trees, and neighbors who had never met one another. Camilla lived at number 15. There was always a lot of noise coming out of her house. The neighbors figured she was hard of hearing, so she had to turn up the volume on her TV. But the real reason for all that noise was that Camilla had 10 babies who were 10 bundles of energy. Can you see some of those babies? Little chickens. Camilla didn't dare to start up a conversation with her neighbor, Mr. Martinez. He seemed so serious and so straight-laced. She was convinced he didn't like kids and wouldn't want to have anything to do with her. Mr. Martinez worked in the city. He was an important lawyer, just like his mother, grandfather, and great-grandfather before him. But when Mr. Martinez got home from work, he changed completely. What does he change to be? What's he doing? Juggling, a secret hobby. If only I had an audience, he sighed. His neighbors were a noisy hen and a huge dragon who didn't seem to have much of a sense of humor. The truth was that there was no huge dragon living in the street. Mr. Martinez's neighbor was a little mouse who lived in fear because a cat had moved in nearby. We all know what cats like to eat. Philip the mouse was very creative, and he came up with a very clever solution to keep his very dangerous feline neighbor from coming anywhere near him. What did he do? What did he do, Abby? He made a dragon costume and put it in the window. What Philip couldn't possibly imagine was that the cat across the street was vegan. So he never ate meat and never ate mice.
I'm trying to get this one.
Hold on a minute. I must have a little ear or something.
Oh, okay.
Can I talk now? Oh, yes. So Rodolfo the cat, remember, he didn't eat meat, so he wasn't going after that mouse. But what he loved to do was to play cards, knit pillows, and most of all, lovingly tend his vegetable garden. Rodolfo was so shy that he'd never even once waved to his neighbor. Would you risk annoying a fierce dragon? On the corner lived Matilda, a brilliant scientist. She worked all day in her garage building astonishing inventions. Matilda spoke only to her robots because she had no one else to talk to. She figured no one lived next door. That house was always locked up tight. But someone did live there. It was just that Mrs. Paquita slept all day like owls do. Then she spent all night on the internet reading the news and playing game after game of solitaire. She didn't even remember to raise her blinds. Looks like no one lives there, doesn't it? Do you think someone might live there? Peppy the ogre lived at the top of a beanstalk. No one ever rang his bell, so he never left the house. He was convinced his neighbors were afraid of him because ogres have such a bad reputation. Poor Peppy. The truth was that Peppy was a bookworm who yearned to share his love of reading. He dreamed about organizing a book club in the neighborhood, or even better, two, one for books about traveling and another for superhero books, which were his very favorite kind. Then one fine day, something terrible happened. Mrs. Paquita's internet connection stopped working. Oh dear, this is horrible, she moaned. Matilda was shocked to hear her neighbor. Someone did live next door. Since Matilda was very handy, she was able to solve Mrs. Paquita's problem in the blink of an eye. She just went up there and fixed that, didn't she, on the roof. Camilla looked out her window and was surprised to see three neighbors eating cake together. Did I skip a page? Let me look a minute. Ooh, did I ever skip a page? The next day, Mrs. Paquita realized that she needed one more egg for her cake recipe. She rang her neighbor's doorbell for the first time ever. Peppy the ogre was very pleased to see she wasn't afraid of him, and he ran down to have tea and cake. Camilla looked out her window and was surprised to see three neighbors eating cake together. That made her think that she should try knocking on Mr. Martinez's door. she found out that he wasn't so straight-laced after all. Rudolfo the cat got a big surprise when he decided to put aside his fear and shyness and go visit his dragon neighbor for the very first time. Soon, everyone knew one another. They became friends. The neighborhood was now something different, a community. And everybody was happier. Can you tell me why they were happier? Anyone here want to tell me why this group of people are happier? Abby, what do you think? Because they knew everybody was what?
Safe.
Safe. Because they knew everybody was safe. And there's a question here on the back. How does a neighborhood become a community? By coming together. That's right. Now they know each other better, don't they?
Oh.
Okay, let's head downstairs.
Thank you. Let us sing our children on their way. May you fall well with gladness.
Thank you, my dear.
Let us now embrace a moment of silence. I will ring the chime and end with the chime as we embrace the silence. It's a privilege for me to introduce our speaker this morning, Reverend Anthony Wade. I had a chance to talk with Pastor Wade on Thursday by phone, and we were both amazed that our congregations have not had many opportunities to share our neighborliness. It's our goal is to try and find ways for Prairie and Second Baptist Church, which is right on our block, and we've been here for years, to try and find some ways that we can find some common ways to share our lives together as members of a community. A little bit of background on Pastor Wade. He spent almost 40 years with the Centers for Disease Control. He's vice president of the General Baptist State Convention of Wisconsin. He has been pastor at Second Baptist Church for almost 15 years. Amazing. And just a little bit of introduction. Some of you may be familiar, but the Baptist Convention that you are a part of has almost 7 million members in your denomination. And it's one of the oldest African American denominations in America. We are privileged and delighted to have Pastor Wade with us this morning.
Good morning. Thank you very much for those kind words. It's just a blessing that, you know, I have an opportunity to come and fellowship, and I thank God for this opportunity. The Bible says, in all things, give thanks. I'd like to thank Ms. Molly Pluckett for the invitation. I'd like to thank your pastor for the conversation we had this past Thursday. To all the staff at Perry UU and all of God's children, thank you for the invitation, and I hope this is not the last time that we all can fellowship with one another. And in the very near future, I would like your pastor to come speak to my congregation. While preparing for this great opportunity you gave me to speak, I found not only are we neighbors, but we have a lot in common with one another. Your bond of union is very appealing to me. You all believe and associate yourself together in a religious community. That's great. Also, the bond of union is state together we would expand our intellectual horizon, enrich our sensory experience, and deepen our emotional sensitivity. This is what the world needs right now. So, again, I thank you for this opportunity. And my subject matter would be a very basic one, but a very important one. I believe love binds us together in perfect harmony. In the Bible, in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verse 13, it reads, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love." And then in the book of John, the 13th chapter, verse 34 and 35, it reads, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Something that's so simple, loving one another. So let me get started. Paul wrote the epistle in the book of Colossians to refute the diverse hearsay that had crept into the young church of Colossae. A key theme in that letter is this sharp distinction between the supremacy of Jesus Christ and the futility of human philosophy and a self-imposed religious ritual. In the book of Colossians, the third chapter in verse 4, the apostle said out how we can live a more meaningful and wonderful life. "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tenderness, mercy, kindness, humility, and meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Jesus Christ forgave us, we also should forgive one another. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you will call in one body and be thankful." Christian love should not merely be an idea captured in beautiful but ultimately empty proses. Instead, we must realize and demonstrate love in everyday life is important. One may say, what does it take to have Christ's perfect love? Wow. Well, I think we need to gird ourselves with love. First of all, we need to have the correct mindset. Paul tells us that God has specifically chosen us to be his holy and beloved people. So therefore, let's gird ourselves with love. Let us put the clothes on of love one another, kindness, long-suffering. That's what Jesus was teaching, to love one another, because love binds us together in perfect harmony. Then when you have love, you got to be able to forgive. Forgive one another. Just as Jesus Christ forgave us, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has complaint about another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also forgive them. True forgiveness is sincere, bearing with our brothers and sisters in the Lord with the love of Christ. Among the most difficult problems to solve within the church are disagreement among believers. Why is that so? Well, we are human. But misunderstanding or mutual complaint arise because everyone thinks that he or she is right. And when everyone clings stubbornly to their stand, problem will never be solved. Only unconditional love and forgiveness, such as that shown by Jesus Christ, will heal existing wounds, remove the threat to the harmony within the church. Therefore, forgiveness is very important expression of love and prerequisite for the church unity. Now, I like baseball. I'm an avid baseball, you know, the Brewers, with all that talent they have, they should have been in the World Series, but there's always this year. So, since I like baseball, I think God should be our umpire. But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. The peace of God refers to the unity that we have in the Lord. With such unity, there is both peace with men as well as peace with God. In order to enjoy such peace, we must have Christ as our Lord. The Apostle Paul urges believers to allow the peace of God to rule in your hearts. The verb rule, the Greek word for that is barbutio, which means to umpire. In the competitive sports, the umpire role is to ensure that the players follow the rules. In baseball, the umpire may even have to decide which competitor to award runs to. Not surprisingly, some competitors blame their losses on that bad umpire. So there is often tremendous pressure is on the umpire. On the other hand, it is understandable why the competitors are so particular about umpire standard. Very often, the difference of one point can determine whether someone will win the game or lose the game. Paul tells us that we need to have Jesus Christ as our umpire and allow him to rule over our lives. We need to have no qualms about this umpire, for he is just and fair. Whether we meet with complaints, difficulty, or setback, we can and should ask the Lord to arbitrate for us. However, we must also be reminded to accept the Lord's judgment, for his decisions are always right. I believe love binds us together in perfect harmony. Now, if we want that perfect harmony, I believe God's word should dwell on the inside of us. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Last but not least, we can only grow in true love for God and man if we allow God's words to dwell on the inside of us. Now, we also should have that perfecting love and perfect unity. Unity. It's good when we all on one accord. No confusion, no disagreement. We all on one accord. Love can overcome all hurt and prejudice. In our church life, we can practice love by forgiving one another just as Jesus Christ forgave us, allowing Jesus Christ to be our umpire and giving thanks to God. Doing these allow us to live in peace and harmony with our brothers and sisters. In addition, God's word must be planted deep in our hearts so that we can practice his love in our daily lives and reflect the image of Jesus Christ. Since we have been chosen, we must strive together to build up the body of the Lord, make it one through the perfect bond of love. Now, in closing, I'd like to focus on these two particular scriptures. And I'm a firm believer in this because I want people to know that I'm a child of God. I want people to know that regardless of your skin color, regardless of your political view, regardless what, it's important for us to love one another. And so these two verses are my favorite verses. A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men would know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And that's why I stress to my congregation that we should have enough Jesus on the inside of us. When a person approach us, they should say, this person is different. You know, it's just time out for so much bitterness that is taking place in the world today. You know, disagreement, you know, hatred. Why we can't live in love and peace? Regardless of the situation, we are human beings. We should be able to just disagree, but disagree in love. It shouldn't be no racism in this world. It should not be. We all are God's children, regardless what your religion is. It shouldn't hate. We should love one another. And so in closing, you know, my two favorite verses, then it said, now we are to love others based on Jesus' sacrifice love. Such love would not only bring unbelievers to Jesus Christ, it would also keep believers strong and united in a hostile world. Jesus was a living example of God's love, and we are to be living example of Jesus' love. Jesus said that our Christ-like love will show we are his disciple. Do people see petty bickering, jealousy, and division in our churches, in our society? Or do they know you are Jesus Christ's follower by your love for one another? Love is the key, is the answer to everything. And I just wish we would become a world, a country, a state, a city that have compassion for people, love people. I work out at Planet Fitness every day. I try to be there at 4:30. In the morning. March 2020, I came down with COVID, and I was sick for like 3 months. I didn't go to work for 3 months. And you know when you're sick, you know, life start flashing through your face and eyes, your mind, this and that. I was thinking about my daughter, you know, my wife, my church, you know. And while I was thinking, I decided it's time for me to retire from my secular job. And so I went back to work June 15th, put my paperwork in June 16th. I retired September 1 of 2020 after 40 years with Center for Disease Control as a senior public health advisor. And I said, well, what do I do now? I have my church. I need to do other things. I don't want to sit on the couch and watch reruns, this and that. So I decided to join Planet Fitness. So every day I'm there, try to be there at 4:30. And so from September 2020 up to present, I lost a total of 51 pounds. And but my story is they have a homeless shelter for men. And remember when Jesus saw the people, he had compassion for them? At this homeless shelter on near East Town Mall, it's so hurtful to see the men come out from the shelter, 5 o'clock in the morning, Some of them have nowhere to go, you know, just waiting till 5 p.m. comes so they can go back into the shelter. And I pull over and I always say a prayer, you know, God, just protect them. You know, God, just have mercy on them. And we as society, we struggle with so many mental health issues that a lot of them are facing. But we are a rich country. Government, private sector, when we see these kind of things, we should have compassion. And that's my speech to my congregation. Have compassion for one another. And I truly believe love is that bond that binds us together. May God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Wade, for those words of inspiration. I wanted to make a reflection on where our Unitarian tradition in the 1500s had what at that time was a meeting of many of the leaders in that religious movement. And there was differences in what one person believed and another. And they developed what was called the Edict of Torda. And the bottom part of that edict was that we don't have to believe alike, but we can love alike. That was written in the language at that time. I think they were in Romania, but it was a Slavic language, or may have been Latin. But it was translated as, we don't have to believe alike, but we can love alike. And I think that is something that we can embrace with Pastor Wade's message. We do take a moment after a presentation to invite people to come forward and share a comment with Pastor Wade, and he's willing to engage in that kind of conversation. We would ask that you form a line on either side of the podium. Raise your hand and one of our helpers will bring a microphone to you. Introduce yourself. If you're online, please raise a virtual hand. Unmute once called on, and everyone will hear you on our sound system. You may type into chat and Zoom. You'll be helped to make that comment. So we have some time for discussion. Barbara?
Hi, I'm Barbara Park, she, her. Welcome. We're delighted that you're here. We did cooperate for, at one time, the men's homeless shelter down at, I think it was Grace Episcopal. We had picked a day that we would provide food once a month, and the, both the churches were going to do that. Well, very quickly, it separated out, so we did the breakfast, and you did the supper. So we were there, both doing it, but not really together. And that, I think, was a shame. But at least we were both doing it.
I'm Mary Mullen, she, her. Well, when you were talking about the umpire and need for an umpire and to, you know, pay attention to the umpire, not argue with the umpire, I was a fourth grade teacher, and my fourth graders would often come in from recess, and they were all worked up because they had been playing softball. And I couldn't understand why every recess they would come back and they would be all mad at each other. Well, finally I went out and observed. I mean, I was out there at recess, but I wasn't observing the game. And I did go out to the game, and I found out these kids didn't know any of the rules of softball. They all had something in their head about the rules, and you know, they would argue about every play because they had no idea what the rules were. Well, once we talked about the rules, you know, and they all agreed to them, it worked out pretty well. They didn't really need an umpire. They needed to know the rules first.
Hello, everyone. My name's Andy, he, him. I really wanted to thank you, Reverend Wade. I think it's wonderful to have you, and I hope this is not the last time. Now, just for myself, I don't speak for Prairie, but I think it would be fun if we could get together and break bread, have lunch together. I think that would be really wonderful.
Thank you.
Oh, and I really appreciated your service.
Patty Stockdale, she, her. I just wanted to share with you that in 2019, Prairie was beginning its remodel of its building. And I contacted Barry Fox, I think, from your congregation, and Second Baptist Church is right down the street, if we don't all know that. And they were very generous to let us stay in their spot to be able to hold our services, because we needed to be out of this building. We had when it was time to start, it was like we had like 2 weeks to get out. But and so they're very generous, and I asked them, you know, well, what can we pay you for it? And he said, well, you know, we're neighbors. So it was very generous. And in the end, Barb Fryall was also looking for places to use, and we went to Oak Park Place because we could at that time meet at the time we normally meet. So, but much appreciated. Yeah, thank you.
I'm Rick. Thanks for coming this morning. I remember going up to your church once, but it was a long time ago when we had an event up there. And one of the things I've always thought, we had some discussion lately related to how we make our congregation more attractive to other people. We had a, you know, we'd like to have more different faces of color here than we have, but if I were African American, I'd be going to your church, you know, because it would offer me a sense of safety that I might not get in this congregation unless I were to spend time here and really know who we are. And so I'd like to make that point. The other thing is my step-grandfather was the kindest, sweetest man there ever was. He was a Baptist, and he believed in the Old Testament as well as the New. And my question is, do you practice the Old Testament issues and values, or how do you address those?
Yes, we do. But we believe in the Old and the New.
Yeah, please.
That's a good question. And we believe in the Old and New Testament. We believe in the Word, the King James Version of the Bible. And your first question, if you was African American, you know, I look at it like this, you know. If we are doing God's will, regardless of what race you have, you know, when I walked in here, you can feel the joy, the peace, the welcome when you walked in here this morning. And that's how it should be. And so, you know, I appreciate your comment, and but you all have something very special here. And I just hope that Second Baptist Church and PP, we all can just fellowship, and so people around the community can see, hey, two churches are coming together.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
I just have to share my favorite definition of the word friend, and that is a friend is somebody who knows you and likes you anyway.
Thank you for your remarks this morning. We now take this opportunity to share our offering, and let us be reminded that we still have a guest at your table to receive. And I'm just reading from the brochure that is sent out with the guests at your table. And what that donation that we provide to the UU Service Committee is that we support individuals and families impacted by human rights violations in Mexico and Central America. And then that other donation is shared with those who are advocating for the dignity of temporary protected status beneficiaries and an equitable legislative path for permanent residencies for TPS holders. And then it's to support Indigenous peoples' right to self-determination and supports work in the Pacific to address climate-based displacement. There are many of those islands in the Pacific that are vanishing because of the rising tides of the ocean. And then to provide funding to the needs of Black African and Afro-descendant people fleeing Ukraine and staying long-term in Poland. Did you know there are African Americans who live in Africans from African countries who reside or attend educational institutions in Ukraine that had to leave because of the a war that was going on, and provide them with long-term support in Poland. So those are all worthy goals for what Guest at Your Table is going to provide. So please remember to bring those boxes in at your convenience. I think our last date for that is when, Nancy? End of January. Okay, great. Now, our offering today supports the Eviction Prevention Fund of Allied Partners. Among the support Allied Partners provides is a fund available to the Dane County Joining Forces for Families, Social Workers in the Allied Community. They help residents who are short on rent payments and may face eviction. This work is keeping with one of our social action focuses, homelessness. Our offertory is What Wondrous Love Is This by Campbell, arranged by Bulber, performed by Amber. Thank you. May love permeate your every heartbeat. May faith guide your every step. May truth and compassion be your eternal traveling companions. And may a deep, abiding spirit rest joyously in every waking wish and your every resting dream. Our closing hymn, number 168. One More Step, accompanied by Amber. Please stand as you are willing and able. Have a few announcements. Next Sunday, our presenter is Prairie member Ann Pryor. Her presentation is titled Searching for a Bird and Finding the Interdependent Web. This service will reflect on our species' role and responsibility to other species while showing photos taken during her challenging trip to the Falkland Islands. Today, after the service, Interweave, Prairie's group for LGBTQ and questioning folks as well as allies will meet at noon here in this room. All are welcome. There are more announcements on the back of our order of service. As a caring community, we now take time to briefly share special joys or sorrows or personal concerns with our Prairie community. We also invite guests or visitors to introduce themselves during this time. There's a visitor form in the back pocket of most chairs, which you may fill out and return to the welcome table by the front door. For online visitors, you may go to our website and click on Connect. Please come form a line side of the podium or raise your hand to receive a microphone. Introduce yourself and pronouns are welcome. For those on Zoom, please raise a virtual hand. Unmute once called on. Everyone will hear you via our sound system. Or you may type into the chat to have your comment read aloud. Time to share joy, concern.
Hi, I'm Lynn Curry, she, her, hers. I'm not going to talk about the amazing trip that our family had over winter break. Suffice it to say, we had an amazing time. It's the longest time the four of us have spent together. And everybody made it out alive, so that's good. At the very end of the trip, though, I had a chance to see Lauren and spend a couple days with him. An update for him, for those of you who know him. He just took a big step and bought a Ford Econoline, which he is now, as of two nights ago, living in. So he's finishing his last semester at Lewis and Clark, parking and sleeping in the parking lot of a climbing gym because he can take showers there. Suffice it, it's been a little sketchy weather-wise in Portland. I don't know if anybody's noticed. And so there's been a very nervous mama on Orchard Drive, particularly when the guy he was staying with got a little impatient and wanted him to leave, and Lauren wasn't quite ready, and he didn't necessarily have a place to park the van, but he found a place. So anyway, wish me luck.
Hi, Suzanne, she, her. This is more of an announcement. It's time to think about some new artwork for our back wall, and we do have somebody scheduled who's going to be hanging their artwork for the next 6 weeks or so. But after that, I was thinking it might be really fun if rather than an individual show their work, that we had sort of a group show, and not necessarily work that you have made, but it could be a loved piece from your home. And I think that's what would be really cool, is if folks brought in a piece from their home that they especially love. Maybe it's something they inherited from their family, maybe it's something someone in their family made. And then if you would indulge me by writing a paragraph or two about why you love it. I think that would be really wonderful and an opportunity for us to get to know each other a little better. The other thing, this is more of a joy, I guess. I'd like to really thank you for coming and being part of our service. It's wonderful. You're a very sweet man. I like you. And I want to thank Reverend